Happy Father's Day. You know, on June the 4th, Mr. Reed was dedicated. We started talking about children and how important they are, and the dedication of Reed started us off. Last week, we kept going with that, talking about the family. Today's Father's Day, so you know we got to talk about the family. And then next week, we'll talk about the family again. So in July, do you want to talk about family or something else? It doesn't matter, huh? Okay, well, for right now, we'll talk about family. The month of June will be, and we kind of compared it to building a home in those weeks, and we'll do the same thing today. So you've decided you're going to build a home. You've got your land. You've got everything ready, and you've got a set of plans, and you've got dreams, and your wife's telling you all these things she wants, and you're thinking, how will it all happen? So you go and you get all that in order, and then, you know, they fix all the things they do in the land, and then there's this thing called a slab. You know what that is? Everybody knows more about that than me, probably. But you go to the site, and there it is, and there's this big piece of concrete. It's a slab, and there's a few pipes sticking up, maybe, and that's all you see. In your mind, you see the living room, the bedroom. You see the shower over here, the kind you want. You see the upstairs or whatever it is on your plan, on your mindset, on your dream. It's in there. But right now, all you see is a slab of concrete. But you got a plan and you've got dreams. You're going to build something on that that's going to make a difference in your life. You're looking forward to it. Now, I'm not saying that all your babies is a piece of concrete. Just a plain old slab. They're wonderfully and fearfully made in the image of God. But I'm saying that when you get this little fella or this little girl, and here's the beginning, it's kind of like building a home. You don't know what they're going to face. You don't know what kind of dad decisions you'll have to make or mom decisions, but you know they're coming. You have dreams over here of what that child will become. And you're thinking, how can I train them in the fear and admonition of the Lord? How can I have my plan is to put the rooms over here and the kitchen and the dining room and the bedroom and all that when I see that slab. But here, I hold this little tiny baby and I've still got a plan. I still have a dream of what that child will be. And I don't see all when it's a week old or a month old or whatever, but I've got a plan. Now, where did I get that plan? When Jennifer was a little baby, I've told this story over and over. She went home, we got home and all that kind of stuff. And my, how things have changed. So maybe that means I'm just a little older than I used to be. And she was in this little thing called the bassinet, and her eyes started going back in her head. You know, that's why she's the way she is today. Her eyes was going back, and I said, Judy, she's having a seizure. Come. It was important. And Judy just goes, She's just going to sleep. I didn't know what in the world was happening. But those little eyes were doing crazy things. I thought, do I have a plan? You know, when she was having the seizure in the bassinet, I'm sure I thought, I've got a plan. I didn't think about a plan. But along the way, we had to develop a plan. We had to know that there's one place to get a plan on raising a child, and it's in the Word of the Living God. It is something called the Holy Bible. It is God's holy word that is absolute truth. And you can get you some books on how to be good parents, and all that's wonderful. You can get you this manual and that manual, and you can be crazy like I was as a first-time dad and think that little child's having a seizure when its eyes does crazy things. And if you're fortunate enough to be married to a nurse, she just shakes her head and says, she's going to sleep. But you got to have a plan. And that plan is God's Word, and we cannot forget it. Is it old-fashioned? Does the world reject it? Maybe so in the world's mind, but we're not of the world. We're Christian people to make an influence in the kingdom, and we've got to raise our children and grandchildren to honor the Lord. So we're going to raise our kids here. You get that plan, you think here's the plan, and remember, you're just looking at that slab, and you don't see all of it, but you think, hey, I'm going to drink my coffee on the back porch over here. I'm going to sit on the front porch over here and do this or whatever. We'll spend holidays here. We'll have parties here. We'll love the Lord here. And you have a plan, and we must have a plan again for our children's lives. God has that plan. We've got to just get cued in to what God is saying. Psalm 127 on the screen. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stands guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, the sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies. Foremost, and I know in our own land today that don't always happen, because we teach them to love everything else, and then if we have time, we will love God. Now, I might be preaching to the choir today, and probably so, but it's getting out of kilter in our own land. We don't have to look at a foreign country. We can look in our own land, and we're saying, okay, if you have time after you do everything else under the sun, then we'll love God. And that's backwards. We're to love God first. We've got to teach a love and a hunger for a Christ-like character, to be like Jesus. God Himself's greatest desire for you and for me, no matter what age we are, no matter what stage of life we are, He's trying to conform us into the image of His Son Jesus. That we will be Christ-like, that we will be like Jesus. That's His plan for us. And we go through ups and downs and everything else, good and bad times. And God's saying, I want you to be like my Son, Jesus. And we have all these adventures in life. And if we'll listen, He's molding us and making us to be like Jesus. So your child, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren need to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love for one another. Scripture for you there. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. More scripture. And throughout scripture, the desire for us to be like Jesus, it's there. So, what's the plan? That is the plan. To be like Jesus. God wants us to be formed into this image like Jesus is, and live the way Jesus lived and how Jesus tells us to live. That's the plan. So then we got to go about getting it done, that we love God. So you're back to this building plan again. You're looking at the slab and there's nothing there. And before the first nail can be driven, you've got to have a plan. You've got to have a dream. You've got to know what's the next step. You've got to have some building material and that kind of thing. I'm certainly not a builder, but I know enough just recently there's going to be some 2x4s and 2x6s and 2x10s and some 2x whatevers. There's going to be some beams. There's going to be some things in there. And you got to have the right thing at the right place. And the same thing with our kids. We've got to have our kids trained that they're to live for the glory of God. And they have to have truth. Again, maybe preaching to the choir, but you can help somebody that's not here. You can help somebody where you work today or tomorrow, this week. They must have the truth about life. And where again will they get the truth about life? It's out of God's Word. It's not on every TV show. God knows that. So the next screen will say, family and mercy, respect, gratitude, love, accountability, justice, and responsibility. Those are great words today that a lot of people don't like. But if you read the Bible from cover to cover, you'll have all kinds of examples. The Bible's a good book to read. kidding this morning when Don came in, was talking about reading the Bible as a kid or whatever, and he said, well, you know, we got over here at Begat, and somebody begat, and numbers and history and all that, and we were talking about it. But the Bible is there for us to teach our children about, and we've got to have it. And they've got to know the truth about what family is. How many theories do you think's out there today what a family unit can be or should be? I'm here to tell you there's many, many. And how is it that American society will survive? How is it that our own country will survive in doing what's right and being strong if we let every theory under the sun come in and affect community after community and church after church if we don't know the truth of God's Word, what a family unit is? And then you preach on that. Then you talk on that. You go to work and try to share that. And people say, oh man, you're so hateful. You're a hater. You're a whatever. Excuse me, I'm not a hater. And I'm not hateful very often. Every now and then, Judy says. But there is a standard. And our own land must stick with the standard. And it's God's Word, family. What's the truth about family? What is a biblical family? Does anybody know this day and time? It's one woman and one man. They've committed their lives together for a lifetime, and they've committed it under God's care. That's what it is. And the husband's the head of the home. And the next thing after God in his heart is his wife, and he treats her with respect and love. And just after God in his life, there she is, and she's to be honored and respected. And then she will in turn love her husband and family. So the family. Mercy. What about this mercy thing? What's the truth about mercy? God demonstrated to us. Jesus showed us what it was. And we're supposed to show it to other people, whether they agree with us or whether they're not. There's respect and mercy that we give to people. God's no respecter of persons when you want to talk about respect. He loves all people. Now, he don't agree with all people. He'll call sin, sin. It's all through his word. But we have to respect people. And would you teach your children and grandchildren respect? Respect for what? For parents, for police, for authority figures, for their teachers and government, and for God himself. We can't lose things like respect and gratitude. Are we teaching and are we living ourselves that our children and grandchildren and people we have influence on can see we're thankful that there is gratitude in our life for all the blessings that God has given us? Be grateful for what we have instead of just it's always more and more and more and more and more. Well, what about stopping and being grateful for the blessings of God and the love like Jesus love, accountability? You say, well, you're just a negative old preacher today. I'm not trying to be negative. But accountability, it's kind of gone somewhere too. And it's got to be taught to our children that there's boundaries. How many of you believe that children really want and expect boundaries in their life? Do you believe that? That's good. I'm glad you believe it. Because they need them. And they really want them. And we need to give them those boundaries. And there's consequences when they're not followed. Responsibility. How are you going to teach that to a child? You give your kids chores anymore? That's an old word too, isn't it? Chores. You got any chores? You have chores to do at home? You do? If you don't do them, what happens? Any of the rest of your kids got chores? You got some, Aaron? Some of your chores was feeding the chickens. And then that prompted the water well business, didn't it? Taking water to them. You got chores to do. It don't hurt anybody. It helps. And if you don't do those chores, there's consequences. Boy, that's so old-fashioned. But it's so good. Church was a new experience for a family that hadn't been to church much, and a little old fellow about that high said, he saw, what's this? It said, offering. It says, what? Well, what's the offering? And mom's trying to explain, you know, you give some money and this kind of stuff. And the preacher was saying, he got about that time. He said, so I'm so glad you're here to give your tithes. He said, I want everybody to put their tithes in the plate today, and we're going to give those to God. And the little boy was all dressed up, and he started unbuttoning his collar, and he jerked his tie off. And the mama said, boy, what are you doing? You know better than that. He said, I just love that preacher. He said, put your tithes in the offering plate. And he said, I'm putting my tie in there. I don't like it anyway. I just love that preacher. Think it's a different kind of tithes. But anyway, he liked the preacher. Wasn't that a nice joke? Thank you. We've got to teach them to be used for the glory of God. And it's important in our own land that we do that. I told you last week about Ron Whitener being a building inspector in whatever it is, South Carolina, I guess it is. And, you know, some places are stricter than others. But in this building process, I've heard people in Virginia say, I'm not building in the city because there are too many codes. I'm building in the county. I didn't get into all that much here. It just kind of come together, it seemed like. The building inspector. He's coming to see if what's built is to code. Is it right? Is it safe? And I know some of those probably are overboard. But there's an inspector in our lives, and that's Jesus. He's going to be inspecting what we're building. He's inspecting all of our lives to see just what we're building on. How is that foundation? How is all this? Is it to code? And this building this family and building these children and trying to pour into them the love of God and family and mercy and respect and gratitude and love and accountability and justice and responsibility and so much more of what God's Word says we're to pour into them, he's going to be the inspector. And one day we'll give an account of how we've built up and trained our children. Well, and again, God's code is not my opinion. God's code's not your opinion. And God's code's not my opinion. And it's not the university professor's opinion. And it's not all these other opinions. Now, the code will be God's holy word again. That's why we go back to the beginning. What's the plan? How am I to do this? I don't know exactly what to do here, and I need a plan. And where will I get that plan? It is God's Word. And then that's where the judgment comes on, out of God's Word and how we live up to it, not everybody else's opinion. The last scripture this morning on the screen, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your strength. So that's the plan. It's a command, it's an encouragement, but it's really a command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's the main plan. And then it goes on to impress them on your children, the things that you're to teach them. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. In other words, your life needs to be revolved around loving the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, your whole being. And then you teach that to your children. So how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to have to live it ourselves. We're going to have to live it ourselves. We're going to have to show, does your child know you're a lover of God? Does your grandchildren know? Does the guys in the community around your neighborhood or whatever, do they know you love God? Well, I told them I love God, and then I cussed them out next day when the dog come over in the yard. That don't work. You know, do they know you're a lover of God? Well, by the way we act, they'll know that. By what we say, yeah, but how we act, They'll know that. Are you a lover of God? Are you a lover of the church? Are you a lover of Sundays? Are you a lover of whatever? We're to be a lover of God first and foremost. And as we love God, then He helps us love His church that He died for. Whether we like the people or we don't like the people, whether we agree with them or we don't agree with them, the church is the bride of Christ, and God says you're to work together and to love one another. Whether you agree all the time or not, you're to work together. So, do we love God first? I hope so. And then we tell them. We tell them about Jesus. We teach them about Jesus. And tell your children what makes God happy. You think about that. Well, I'm reading this book as they're young. I'm reading these stories. What are you reading to them? All of them probably are great and all that. But somewhere along the line, tell them what God likes. Tell them what God loves. Tell them what He expects. We tell them. We have to frame them. We have to help them. And you say, well, I'm teaching mine responsibility. You better be responsible, boy. And you don't do as I do, you do what I say. That don't work too good either. You be responsible. Hey, I'm sick today. I'm calling in work. I'll see you in a couple days. I'm awful sick. Let's go fishing, Junior. Let's get out on the boat. Don't work that way. I'm going to teach my child honesty. And then you lie. See, they watch and they know. So we have to frame them. And there's got to be some substance to it. Well, my kids are nice. They help the old ladies across the street. They carry their little Bible to church and all that's good. And they don't use bad language. And they're such good kids. There are a lot of good kids. But are there any substance to what they know about the Lord? And that's what Bible school's about. With all the fun and all the noise and all the loudness and all the whatever. Teaching about the Lord. That God made them. There's a purpose behind what God has done here. You're created by God. And there's a purpose for your life. It's a good lesson for us today too. So, I don't know what you think about today. I don't know the good experiences you've had or the bad experiences in life, maybe. Father figures are good and bad sometimes. I don't know all the things that are whirling around in your mind today. It might be something like, well, I tried to show my kids right. I've done what you've said here. I've done what God said here, and they've fallen away from the Lord. And I've got a tremendous hurt in my heart. If that's the case, I encourage you to give God that hurt. Because if you've done your best, you've taught them the Word, and they go their own way, they can make their own choice. I encourage you to give that hurt to God and to keep praying for them. So, wherever you're at today, God loves you. Happy Father's Day. And we must teach these things that we heard today out of God's Word, out of His plan. He has the plan, the love and the hunger for Christ, the Christ-like character. It's got to be taught. And the truth now, the truth of what family is, the truth of what mercy and grace is, the truth about gratitude and love and accountability and justice and responsibility. And I know you're doing it, and I encourage you to keep on doing it. Would you stand with me this morning? Our Father, we're thankful for this day, and who only knows but You what's on the mind of people gathered right here today and around this great big world that You created. I sure don't know. But You know what's going on in the hearts of people right here, right now, today. We're very thankful for men here today. We're thankful for fathers here today and grandfathers. And we're thankful that we can celebrate all that. And God, the new fathers that are starting out and some that are maybe got great, great, great grandchildren or what have you. Wherever we are in life, We pray for your spirit to be with us. If there's hurts, if there's disappointments, God, I pray we'll bring them to God today. And we'll say, here they are, Lord, and we'll pray and ask for strength. If there's joys, I pray we'll rejoice and we'll thank you for all the good you've brought our way. So whatever is needed here today, Holy Spirit of God, I pray you meet that need. In Jesus' name, amen.